This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 1st, 2018, the fifth Sunday after Trinity, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living. Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips so I sin against thee in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Faith is a peculiar thing. Faith that God will deliver, that he has not abandoned us, that he is watching over us, and that he will be there for us when it's absolutely needed, is something that's difficult for all of us to wrap our arms around. And yet, in the Catechism, we affirm that we believe in God and believe that all he had said and revealed to us and the Holy Church proposes for our belief. But it's funny the stages we walk through in demonstrating our own faith and putting that full trust in God. If you ask anyone with silver hair in here, if they have less unwavering faith or trust in God as when they were, say, in their 30s, most often you would find people willing to share stories of long journeys of faith, long journeys in which God had directed the individual through many tough roads, long journeys where you had to develop that belief in a saving power. And it's a journey that we often wish that they would often wish had ended early. It's a journey that was so uncomfortable, they felt like God had left them, that he no longer loved them. And by the end, when it was all over, they felt like it was kind of like a dream. They saw that God had delivered them, and they said, boy, that felt so long, and yet it was so quick. Think of the heroes of the faith and their journey towards faith and trust in God. During their pain and their trials, I am positive each and every one of them would say they felt abandoned by God, that he was silent, that he did not care. But in the end, they would say, I understand it all now. I'm sure Noah felt lost and stupid building a boat in the middle of the desert. I am sure Moses felt very humiliated when he went from ordering slaves to ordering sheep. I'm sure Abraham felt completely abandoned by God when God demanded the life of his son. Or Jacob when he lifted the veil and saw Leah after 7 long years. God takes us through paths that are tough, full of suffering, full of despairs, and many times he is silent. We wish we could end our suffering. We wish that he would tell us where we were going. We wish we'd know the end result. But in the end, that is what makes us his children. That is what grows us. Our story today traces the lives of two people, just very briefly, Jairus and the woman with the affliction. These are two small examples of what I'm referencing. Jairus was a man of influence, a man of prominence in his community. He was the synagogue leader, and he would have been revered by everyone around him. A married man, he and his wife were blessed with a child who had now hit her preteen years. And for those of you with children, you know exactly what years I'm talking about. This is when they still thought you weren't dumb. This is when they still loved you all the time. And Jairus felt that way. Like most dads, he could look at his child and feel something special, something they could never understand until they had their own child. Because in that child was all the possibility, all the good that existed in Jairus without none of the wrong. Because although hard to believe, young children, when dads get on your case, they actually don't see a lot of wrong. All they see is something special. And when your child is hurt, it tears a hole the size of the black hole inside of your stomach. Now his kid was sick, and not runny nose sick, but dying sick. There was nothing that doctors could do. Prayer was not working. The child was not getting better. He had no hope. Now let's move to the woman. We only read about her, and she appears to be alone. suffering for 12 years with what appears to be a hemorrhage, we can only deduce that she experienced headaches, constant stomach aches, embarrassing public moments throughout the last decade. Scripture tells us that she spent all that she had trying to find a cure, but to no avail. Consequently, due to the law, she was an outcast. She was a social pariah. She was completely unclean. She was unfit for society. She could not go to worship. She could not be in crowds. She could not hug her family. And any piece of furniture that she sat on became unclean itself. Even the ground that she wept on when she sat down, feeling all alone and broke, was considered unclean. So for 12 years, she could not have a hug, a kiss, a touch by anyone. Otherwise, they would become unclean. Now they are ready to act. Jairus decides he has tried everything and nothing is working. He has hit his low point. He will go ask the teacher because he heard the teacher is in town. And obviously, this is with great personal risk because Jesus was not revered by leadership. It would be unfitting for him to be seen with him. But Jairus doesn't care because in those moments of desperation, that will drive you to demonstrate your faith, to see how much you truly believe. What man in here can attest to never wanting others to see you cry? And yet you've been brought to tears kneeling in front of Christ. Those moments of suffering will drive all feelings of pride, arrogance, and put you squarely on your knees in front of your Lord. The woman approaches in a different way. She comes through the crowd. And whereas the crowd most likely stepped aside for Jairus, she would have had to make a way through the crowd by pressing on. Yet, she could make them unclean. I have often thought that she was on her hands and knees so as not to do that, trying to maneuver through the crowd to just get close enough to the teacher so she could be healed. She had no advocate. If she had a husband, he most likely did not have contact with her. And even if she did, he wasn't there. She was broke, alone, and dying. She was a shell of a woman who, after 12 years of constant bleeding and pain, had been brought to this point. 12 years. 12 years for Jairus to fall so deeply in love with his child, to remember those butterfly kisses that warm your heart, those hugs that squeeze around your neck that you can remember the smell of their hair. That losing her would cast aside all moments of pride, all moments of care, and say, I don't care what I'll lose in this world. I'll run to Jesus. 12 years for a woman who could have been stoned for pushing through the crowd and creating them or making them unclean just to get near Jesus. 12 years of being broke, of having her family leave her, of no one touching her hand, kissing her cheek, telling her they love her as they held the back of her neck. Suddenly, at that point, they are provided the healing they so desperately desired. And what does Christ attribute their healing to? Faith. It's a firm faith, a true faith, a faith not shaken about like a reed in the wind. Jairus wasn't afraid of who saw him. He didn't give up when they said she was dead. He didn't lose hope when Jesus stopped for the woman. He even stayed strong when his neighbors laughed at him. In the room, only Jesus, three disciples, and his wife were there, yet his faith remained firm. The woman didn't lose faith when doctors had given up. She didn't lose faith when her family had left her. She didn't lose faith when the crowd was too large, and she still had it when Jesus turned around and demanded an answer. Only then did she open her mouth and told him the truth. She told him everything. She told him why she was so desperate, how long she had suffered. She told him she was sorry for trusting in herself and the doctors and for not being as faithful as she could have been. She told him, I'm sorry for having made him unclean by touching him. And then she began to cry from years of stored up pain, from thankfulness and from wonder. He patiently listened to it all and said to her, her faith had healed her. They came before him in weakness because they recognized their condition and knew they needed him. They had no strength to say anything, but only to fall down before him. They knew he could heal them, when all the doctors could not? And can you imagine the peace and the joy and the thanksgiving that filled their hearts? There's no way I could possibly describe it to you, but maybe some of you have been healed like that. Maybe some of you have been delivered from that pain. And you know what I'm talking about. And if you do, rejoice. And if not, then don't you think it's time that you reach out and touch his garment, touch Jesus, and have him heal you? 12 years is a very long time. 12 years ago, I was finishing up seminary, welcoming my third child, wondering what God had in store for me. And I can tell you, it goes up and down. Years of pain, years of doubt, years of silence, years of frustration, years of feeling like God abandons you. And I can attest that this God is real and he will deliver. Amen.